And there was a time in chapter 29 where David's ministry as a king was wrapping up. And there was a time when he was about to pass the mantle to his son Solomon. And I want to read a passage of scripture from First Chronicles chapter 29. And I'm not going to read the entire text, but I encourage you, it actually begins in verse 10, and David is standing before the assembly of the people, and the context here is they were raising money. Did you hear that? You say, how can that be a spiritual thing? Did you know that money is the currency of ministry? And I challenge you to try to do it without it. Now, here's some practical exhortation before we even look at the doctrinal emphasis here in the scripture, the biblical exhortation. Here's a practical exhortation. Listen, God is our source, but He uses human beings and their resources. God has ordained the ends, but listen, God has also ordained the means. There's nothing more spiritual than giving of one's substance unto the Lord's work. Jesus said, blessed is he that giveth. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now I know in this culture today, in our post-Christian world, in the United States of America, and even some in Christendom, they say, oh, we don't need to talk about money because that's a private matter. You know, I used to think that religion and politics were the only two things we couldn't talk about. But apparently there's a third one, it's money. Don't talk about my money. It belongs to me. I worked hard for it. Don't talk about my money. Well, let's correct that right now. It's not your money. It's not my money. It's God's money. So let's read here from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. This is the end of David's prayer and praise, where he declares that everything that he has and everything that Israel had was of God. He says, O Lord our God, verse 16 in your Bible, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for, your holy name, listen, is from your hand. Mark that. And is all your own. Mark that. I know, verse 17, he says, I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy I have seen your people who are present here. Look, to offer willingly to you. Verse 18, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people and fix their heart toward you. Now may God do what only God can do today, and that is bless the public reading of His holy word to our hearts and our minds. Well, the context was David had a long reign as king over Israel. And you know, David had some potholes in his leadership. He had some miscues. Is there anybody here today that's never had a miscue in their life? Of course. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And David, as God raised him up to lead his people, God's people, he had some miscues. And one of them was, he had a couple of them that we know about, don't we? Where he looked on to Bathsheba, you remember that? And, David will remember those for all eternity, but God forgot them under the blood of Jesus. If he could replay the tape, he wouldn't have gone on top of that building and looked over at Bathsheba. He wouldn't have lusted after her. He wouldn't have had adultery. He wouldn't have killed her husband. But because of that and then the war that he was involved in, God chose in His sovereignty not to allow King David to build the temple of God. Now, to show David's character and his heart, the Bible says he has a heart after God. Here he is about to pass the mantle. He's not there to talk about his great history of how the military achievements and how during this time the city of David was at a pinnacle that it really has not been since then. He wasn't there to talk about his glory. He wasn't there to talk about his achievements. He was there to give glory to God. And I want you to notice the context. It was as they were raising dollars, and they were raising gold and silver and precious commodities, and they were raising material things for the purpose of furnishing the temple that Solomon would then build with God's resources and wisdom years later. But this is where David, this is David's shining moment. David is showing that it's not how you begin that matters, but how you end. And so, as we're here today in this wonderful building, and all the progress that's been done here. A year ago we were here and prayer walked this whole place, and you don't know this, but Ginger and I, we drove around here praying for this neighborhood that God would come in a mighty way, that there'd be personal conversions to Christ, that there would be community formation here, the family would be strengthened, that there would be cultural renewal here. Oh, God, do it in this place, that there would be social justice here. I want to tell you, God is a God of social justice. Yeah. And He loves every ethnicity. Yeah. Everyone matters to God. Yeah. And God places value on everyone through the shed blood and righteousness of His dear Son. Yeah. And so we were praying about this place. And God now, a year later, has done a marvelous work. Yeah. Under your leadership, Pastor Darrell, Lady Lenora. Under other leadership, under your participation, here we are today. And so I want to bring the timeless word into a contemporary application today. May I do that in the next few minutes? But let's talk about three things. I have three observations that come out of these three verses. Three comments that I pray God will use to encourage you, but to stir your heart today. To go forward knowing that God's grace is sufficient for everyone in this place. And that great things come from small beginnings. And our great God has a plan that's wonderful for you and for this congregation. And I believe He's raising up churches like this in Memphis because I believe that God wants to do a work. And I believe God wants to bring an awakening to our city. And it's going to be black and white and Hispanic and Asian coming together and putting aside our differences. We can thank Martin Luther King for that vision. I was a 7-year-old boy when Martin Luther King was assassinated. And I went into my mother's, in our kitchen in my house, and I said, "Mom, what happened?" And my mom was weeping and said, "They killed a great man. They killed a great man in our city in 1968. Here we are today in 2015. And still the refuge and the barriers and so many divisions still flow from that time and two or three generations later. But I tell you, God is the God of this generation. And God wants to bring, He wants to bring redemption and reconciliation. And this church, I believe, stands on that. Because I know your leaders. And I know your hearts because you're following your leaders here. Three observations this morning about this time of dedication of the things that were going to go into the temple. First of all, God is the source. God is the source. Verse 16, notice David says, it doesn't matter how much money you've got in your pocket. It don't matter what kind of gold and silver you have. It doesn't matter what your balance sheet looks like. It doesn't matter what your investment portfolio's performance is. It don't matter. It all belongs to God. You can come here like the widow with two mites, or you can come in here like Donald Trump with $10 billion. And it don't matter. It all belongs to God. God is the source. He was the source of David's wealth and the people and all that they had. He was the source. He was the provider. He was the one who created their ability to work and to have wealth. Deuteronomy says that. It is God who gives the ability to work and to create anything in this world. God is the source. And so as we see this place today, wonderful facility. The renovation was done marvelously. Kudos to your designer here. You know, I know because I have one sitting right here. You know, as this place has been brought to this wonderful preparation for this dedication and celebration today, it's important for us all to remember that God is the source. of the resources that were given to make this happen. Because God is the creator of the universe. And all the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There's nothing that you and I have that we brought into this world. And dear friend, there's nothing that we left or going to leave with, dear friend. Job said, naked we came into the world. Naked we will go. But blessed be the name of the Lord. God is a source. It was many years ago now when Ginger and I launched out with Global Ministries Foundation. And I'm not here to talk about our ministry just like David wasn't around to talk about his. But I think when an illustration fits, brother, we need to nail it as a preacher. The context here. It was 2003. My wife and I were given the vision to begin Global Ministries Foundation. I had two pastorates and I had a heart for the world. I said, God, I have a desire to go out and use not only my preaching and evangelist skills, but as a businessman. I spent 15 years as a Wall Street professional. I was an investment banker. I wasn't looking to be a preacher. Man. And now 18 years later, I'm saying, God, what did you get me into? Well, God, when you called me to preach, I was called to preach. I didn't know you wanted me to still be doing kingdom business. I mean, pastors aren't supposed to be cutting those deals like that in their business. And businessmen surely can't preach. Well, God said, Richard, I've raised you up for this time. And you may be seen as a freak, but I know that you're my son's freak. You're a Jesus freak. And so in 2003, I had this vision. Lord, give me a foundation. The only problem was we didn't have any money. The only problem was we'd spent all of our savings from my years before. I was like Joseph. I had 7 years, and then I had to invest 7 years in my kids' education and our salary and everything else to start out because we didn't have resources. But God clearly called me to begin that ministry. And I remember in 2006, I remember being on my knees when Ginger and I were thinking and praying about whether we were even going to be able to go forward. Because we had a staff, we still didn't have any donors, and for 3 years, 4 years, we had used all of our resources to help other people, help our ministries around the world. And I said, God, I don't know, but they're saying that I'm done and they're going to stick a fork in me. God, it just looks like from a human standpoint that this was a vision, but maybe it was a hallucination. God, I don't know where this is going to go, Lord. How are we going to multiply monies, missions, and mentoring for the glory of God if we don't have any resource? But God, you're our source. And everything I am, God, everything I have belongs to you. And I'm sold out to you. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. And it was the best, highest currency this world will ever know. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. The Chinese may be devaluing their currency. Their economy may be struggling. The last week, everybody's freaking out over the stock market dropping. I want to tell you, when you know God is your source, it doesn't matter what happens in the investment market. It doesn't matter what happens in your bank account. It matters that God is still the same and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. And He has not changed. And He has not left us. And He will never forsake us. I want to tell you that God is a source. And here we are in 2015. We have ministries in over 40 countries around the world. We have low-income housing units, multifamily properties in 8 states, 11,000 units, over 30,000 people that we are trying to reach. We've invested private capital and taken risks to try to empower and enable people to be full of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're not going to be discriminated against because we're a faith-based, white-hot evangelism agency. You hear me? We're not going to be discriminated against. We are entitled to be in the space we're in this democracy under the laws of our man, just like any pagan charitable agency. Until my dying breath, I will say that God is the source. And God is the source for this church. And yes, He used human resources. Yes, He used agency resources. Yes, He used your contributions. But I want to tell you, God is the source. David knew that, and the people of God knew that. And they were about to raise money for these furnishings that would go into one of the greatest structures that would ever be built by his son Solomon, the temple. But it was not yet time. But David was not there for his glory. He was there for God's glory. Pastor Darrell and Nora are not here for their glory. They're here for God's glory. Ginger and I are here today not for our glory. We're here for His glory. Till the knowledge of the glory of God cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. Now the second observation is verse 17. Not only is God the source, but God is the subject. Now, I'm going to tell you, in verse 17, David's saying, God has given you these things. He's going to test your heart. But he's saying he's the one that gave you these things, and he is the one that needs to be celebrated through these things. Are you with me today? As a matter of fact, biblical grammar goes like this. God is the subject, and God is the object, and he is all in the sentence. And it is God's vocabulary. And dear friends, Jesus Christ must increase and we must decrease. Jesus Christ must be exalted. And David knew that. He told the people, he said, God must be the subject of this build. This temple my son's going to build is going to be an incredible structure. And you remember all those years, hundreds of years, the tabernacle which Moses, God's servant, brought into design. You remember that was just a picture of the temple. For many years, the people of God didn't have a place to worship of permanent structure. They had a tent, man. And they were going around with a tent. They were nomads. They were like in the wilderness, like gypsies. You know what I'm saying? They were out there. And then finally there came a day in the fullness of time that God said, it's time for my house to be built. It's time to be built. And David didn't go over and say, oh God, you said, the covenant of David. I mean, Jesus Christ is going to come through my flesh later. Oh, the tribe of Judah. You know, oh God, I need to be the one that gets the praise and recognition. I need my bio to be read. You know what I'm saying? He didn't say that. He told the people, he said, God is the subject. God is the object. And God is every word and grammar in between. It is all about God. For God is God, listen, and we are not. He is the creator. We're the creature. But you realize there are buildings that are built, cathedrals, church structures. Listen to me today. Come up close. Listen, all around this country today, man, there are great churches, buildings, I say, with steeples. They even have crosses. Man, they have people come and pay their tributes every week and pay their penance and take their sacraments and they come and where's Jesus in all this? I mean, there are many churches today, seriously. I mean it. If the Holy Ghost showed up, the people would run away scared. Now, I want to tell you, it's a frightening thing to come into the presence of the Lord, amen? It's a fearful thing. But Jesus Christ has taken away that fear. Because he's the mediator, the reconciler. He's the one who has, because he took our sin, he had no sin, and he took our sin, and we've been made the righteous of God in him. I want to tell you, there are great cathedrals today that once praised God that today are mosques and Hindu temples. And we're not here to bash other religions. We're just simply to say this. Listen, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And we're not talking about politics or religion. Christianity is not a religion. So let's have a conversation about Jesus. Amen? Let's do it. That's what we need to tell the world. Listen, you are the church outside the walls. I have seen what you're doing at the Tulane Apartments. I have seen what you're doing in the community here. I have observed that. And dear friend, God is using you as a New Testament church. You are looking to see conversion growth. That's something that's almost a scarcity in many churches today. It's just a reshuffling of the deck. Whether it's Southern Baptists or evangelicals. It's like, oh, we're going to move over here. Some people spend their whole life shuffling between a denomination or churches. I want to tell you, that's a zero-sum game. I believe God's economy is addition and multiplication. And I believe that happens when we know that God is the subject. It's not about some church program. It's not about some church activities. It's not about some rituals. It isn't some entertainment center or some circus. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And God will light your fuse. He will fan your flame if you understand that God is the subject. Now, you know, we've been all around the world, 68 countries now, I believe. I don't know where I was that day I text you, but I wake up in places I don't even know. I'm on my second passport, and we go all around the world, and we're going to be next month. Pray for us. We're going to be in Cuba for the first time. Praying I can meet Fidel Castro and lead him to Christ. The next month we're going to be in Korea and Vietnam. And we're going to be there. Those are new countries. So we're going to be over 70 really quick here, 72. And then in November, we're going to be in India. We go to India every year and train church planters who are going all around India to preach the gospel. So we spend a lot of time in the planes and in the airports. You with me today? But I want to tell you that the greatest thing that God does many times is that what He does right in your home community. This is our Jerusalem. And your pastor and your leaders have a heart for the world. But listen, the Great Commission is first where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. And some of you may never be able to go to another country to share the gospel or work on a short-term mission. Maybe you will. But listen to me, it doesn't matter. God's placed you in a sphere of influence where God being your subject, you can proclaim the gospel and He can bring transformation right before your eyes. But we were in Istanbul, Turkey a few years ago. And in Turkey's not what we eat, Thanksgiving. There's a country called, y'all know that, Turkey. I'm just kidding there. But Turkey, let me tell you the history there. It wasn't always called Turkey. If you look on the map, at one time in the city of Istanbul, it used to be called Constantinople, and it was in the 4th century after Christ, in the 300s and AD. And up to that time, the early church had gone through martyrdom. And everyone believed if they were martyred, that was a blessing. How about that? I mean, that's really what it was. They counted a privilege to stand up and die for Christ. Amen? Amen. And here today in our generation, we have people who don't even live for Christ. I mean, God is still the subject, friends. He hasn't changed. His vocabulary does not change. God's grammar is the same. He is the subject, and He must be the centerpiece, because He is the awesome, loving God who has reconciled sinners like you and I to Himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, and we are ambassadors to go across the street and around the world sharing the love of Christ. But there was this great monument there. Remember, Ginger, it was the Hagia Sophia. It's if you do Google today with the internet or Wikipedia, whatever it is, you'll see it. It was this place, listen, it was this incredible structure. And it was built in, the 400s AD and the patriarch period, we call it, and the church fathers. And it was an incredible place where they worshiped Christ. But, the God was the subject of the building at that time. But hear me today. His subject was removed not too long later. And this facility continued to have wars and it was broken down. And finally, the Muslims came. The Ottoman Empire was formed in around 1400, 1300, and it became a mosque. God, the God of the Bible, was no longer the subject. People were worshiping there, but they weren't worshiping the God of the Bible. And so what happened was, in the 1900s, it became a museum. And so that's why we were able to be in there. And you go in there, and they have the old relic, all of the wonderful dome and marble and columns and replicas that were of the period where it was a Christ-following community. And then you also have the part of it that would be more for the nation of Islam and the Muslim faith. And you go in there and you say, wow. And they've restored it, and it's an incredible building. Like the temple was going to be incredible. I want to tell you, though, listen to me today. God is not in a building. He's in a body. And the New Testament, listen, the new covenant of Jesus Christ is that God must be the subject, and it doesn't matter if your church is worshiping under a tree or in a cathedral in Istanbul. If the people of God do not have God as the subject, I want to tell you, it will become Ichabod, and God will say, depart from me. God must be the subject. He is a jealous God, and He will not share His glory with anybody else, no denomination. Listen, no ecclesiastical body, no religious institution, I want to tell you what. Now listen to me. And I'm a Southern Baptist pastor, but we deal with all denominations. I want to tell you this. Denominations are going to blow up one day. Listen to me. They're going to blow up either at the rapture or at the judgment seat of Christ. And it's going to be who is in Christ's church. There are people whose names are written on rolls of Baptist churches that are in hell today. And I say that, I mean, listen to me. Psalm 1 says the congregation of the unrighteous. You read it? The congregation of the unrighteous is the biggest assembly in this world today. And it's the largest visible community of no biblical faith that's in hell today. I want to tell you today that God must be the subject of this place. It doesn't matter what happens to this building, but God, this building, a tornado could blow it away. And God and Believer's Choice Church is still here. You understand? David was thankful for the opportunity to dedicate these furnishings for this great temple his son would build. But he knew that God was not only the source, but God was the subject. Well, let's move on to the last observation here. Here, verse 18. Not only was God the source, not only was he the subject, but listen, God was the sanctifier. Many, listen. Many Christians are so scared of that word. I think many Baptists are. Sanctification, oh, that's something the Pentecostals talk about. Oh, my AOG, bro, that's what they talk about. Oh, the Church of God in Christ, Church of God, they talk about sanctification. With Baptists, sometimes we come to sanctification, and it's almost like the doctrine of election. We just jump over it, you know what I'm saying? We say, oh, you know, we're teaching through it, and oh, we don't want to deal with that verse. But you know what Paul told the Thessalonians? He said, may God sanctify you wholly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. May he sanctify you wholly. Listen, not just in your body, but in your body, soul, and spirit. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a holistic redemption. God is coming through the gospel to deliver us. The gospel is a liberating gospel. That's the true liberation theology, that Jesus Christ came into this world to liberate and set the captives free. And here David is saying, oh Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, he's saying our fathers, he's saying keep this forever in the intent of your people and fix their heart in him. In other words, God has a responsibility. God is committed to himself in the covenant of grace that born again believers will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It is a bottom line deal. Whom he has called, he has justified. And whom he has justified, he shall glorify. I want to tell you, who he has began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And David was saying, God, I know the people are frail and feeble. And he didn't have omniscience, but he knew from prophecy that there would be a divided kingdom. He knew that. But yet he stood there and he told the people as the spokesman of God. He said, follow God as the subject. But then he looked at God and said, God, these people need your strength. For they are like sheep without a shepherd. And they need you. They need you, great God. I'm about to see you face to face, God. My time, my assignment is about complete. I'm about to go with you and the fathers in the faith. Into my rest, my gospel rest on that side of the cross. But listen, he said, God, these people are going to stay. And my son's going to build the temple. And there's going to be a time, he knew, when there would be division. Oh, dear friends, listen to me today as we close. Sanctification is simply us being separated under the work of God. It is simply being conformed to the image of Christ. It is, if we're a new creature, we're going to be changed. Now listen, we're not perfect till we get to heaven. Anybody that tells you that you can reach perfection in this world, you wouldn't want to call them a heretic, but you would just say, I think you need to pray about that and look at some other scripture and maybe help them. The Bible says, by grace you're saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we are work in progress, ladies and gentlemen. And this church is work in progress. And this church has a timeline that God has given Pastor Darrell, Lenore, and the leadership here. And hopefully in a year or two, there'll be so many people here that God's added through the gospel of Jesus Christ that you have two services. And there may come a time where you have to get another place to worship. Remember, God's the source, amen? And if he stays the subject and the sanctifier, then listen, there's no telling what God may do. And God's going to work if there's 30 or 300 or 3,000. But I tell you today that God has his hand upon you for such a time as now. And he will not let go. He will not stop. He will not stop working in you as long as you say, God, you are always the subject. My life does not belong to myself. I belong to you. So my challenge as we close Believer's Choice Life Church is this. Are you willing? Are you willing to go forward and charge hell with a water pestle? Let me tell you. Are you willing? Are you willing? Listen, the world, the flesh, and the devil, I'm going to tell you, they hate you and I. Listen, but listen, are you today willing to say, I count it all joy? I count it all joy when I'm attacked. They're a great missionary. He was a great missionary because he had a great God. His name was William Carey. One day, William Carey woke up and realized that the enemy was behind him and beside him and all around him. And they said to him, where are we going to go? He said, we must press forward because God is working through us. I want to tell you today that your best days are ahead of you. If God remains your subject, if the gospel of Jesus Christ is the centerpiece, if your heart for this community continues to grow as Jesus' compassion weeping over the city there in Jerusalem, if you have that same compassion, his compassion, there will be people in this neighborhood that will say, what is there different about that church? That church really loves us. They don't care what you know, church, until they know that you care. Now, today, I want to challenge you. This is celebration day. This is dedication day. And God has birthed this New Testament church for such a time as now. I remember years ago, I used to go over to the Mall of Memphis and skate. Y'all remember that? I told Ginger, if we had a snapshot of 20 years ago, this place would look different. There have been people that have pulled out of here, and that happens for business reasons, demographic. We're not going to get into that discussion. But I want to tell you, God is a God of community renewal. I want to tell you that God wants his holistic gospel to go out and bring empowerment. And God uses education, health and wellness, computer labs. God uses all those things so that people, job training, work faith, God uses them all so that Christ's people can be a sustainable people with God as their source. God is their strength. God is a subject. And God as their sanctifier. So we're going to have a time of commitment here, if that's okay, Pastor. You know, I'm always under the authority as a pastor evangelist itinerant. I preach around the world and church in the States. But whenever I go, I'm always under the authority of the local church. You hear me today?